page 77 of the 1921 Philadelphia magazine, there's another article about Palestine. And this one is a report of a luncheon given in London for the governor of Jerusalem. The governor told the attendees at the luncheon about what was going on in Palestine, and in particular in Jerusalem at that time. Practical work in the land. He told a fascinating story about the work going on in Jerusalem and Judea, and in his difficulties as the governor in holding the level between two parties, one of which wanted to modernise everything and the other that wanted nothing altered. The party that would have begun to build houses of corrugated iron and stucco and run a train line to Bethlehem, and the party that viewed even necessary sanitation with suspicion. By tact and good temper, the governor got his way for the most part, he said. One of the acts of arbitrary despotism which the governor performed, said Mr. Straw, the governor, was the abolition of drink bars. Nobody was prevented from having liquor in their homes or hotels or at table, but the actual bar seemed so wholly incongruous in such surroundings that he forbade it by proclamation throughout Judea. And the High Commissioner had since extended the prohibition throughout the whole of Palestine. They supported the law courts, collected the taxes, and laid down a water supply, oddly enough, from a place 18 miles south of Jerusalem, a reservoir built but never used by Pontius Pilate. But above these official activities, it was their constant preoccupation to get and to keep in touch with the people of Palestine themselves. And with this object in view, the authorities started a chess club and a school of music with 90 pupils and 4 professors. Next summer, the governor proposed having an academy for painting, sculpture, textiles and town planning. And in all these projects, he appreciated the never-failing support and sympathy of the High Commissioner, Sir Herbert Samuel. The amicable co-working of the religious sects was shown by the governor by the founding of the Pro-Jerusalem Society, on the board of which sat in friendly conclave the Muslim Grand Mufti, the Jewish Grand Rabbi, the Armenian and Greek patriarchs, representatives of the Dominican and Franciscan monasteries, representatives of the Zionist Commission, French and Italian architects, and the Mayor of Jerusalem, who discussed together all the projects which they thought would further the interests of the Holy City. They found the most convenient language for everybody was French, but asides were sometimes used in Arabic, Hebrew, and Armenian. The leading merchants of Jerusalem had subscribed very generously to the society because they saw that their interest was that Jerusalem should be preserved as it was now and not in any way modernised or brought up to date except with regard to public health. With all the money they'd got, they restored old looms and started the weaving industry. And the first task of every apprentice was to weave his own dress. They also brought an Armenian tile expert from Damascus, and he found near the Mosque of Omar the ancient kiln where most of the original tile in that mosque must have been fired. The man dug it up and set it in order, and tiles are now being made again where they were made 400 years ago. As soon as they'd attained a sufficiently high standard, and with the approval of the Muslim authorities, it was proposed to recover the famous and noble shrine. They'd also reopened a walk which used to exist in the Middle Ages on the top of the city walls. All this work was more or less important in itself, but even more so was the fact that round the same table, in a German hospice, sitting upon leather-covered chairs, branded with the crown and monogram of William II, were gathered the heads of various and often opposing sects to work together and to sink their differences for the good of Jerusalem. All this is very good, writes the editor of the magazine, and quite in the right direction for the present, and will do its part in the pre-eventual restoration of Jerusalem. But Grand Muftis, Rabbis, Patriarchs, Dominicans and Franciscans, and French and Italian architects,